Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
205 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Really interesting a conversation that I had with Marcus Luttrell at, earlier in the program. And we're going to rerun that. A lot of folks caught the conversation in the middle or at the tail end of the discussion. So coming up at 2:35 here on WTN, we will be replaying that interview because it was, one, a great interview, and I think absolutely worthy of repeating. So looking forward to that. So we know that the president, he kind of stepped in it. And so one of the things by imposing this tariff on steel and aluminum, a couple of things, and I've done a couple of different interviews on this, and everybody's got their own opinion on whether or not this is going to help jobs and help the economy or cause us to lose jobs and lose the economy and hurt the economy. There we go. Thank you, Mandis. And so everybody's got their own opinion. Now, my two cents on this, because they pay me to have opinions, is that everybody's got an opinion, and I'm no economist. But it does seem to me that for, what, about a year, year and a half now, every time the president wants to do something, everybody freaks out. And then it turns out, well, it wasn't going to be nearly as bad as the sky is falling, as people realize, well, that really wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. But when the president called for these tariffs on steel and aluminum, a couple of things happened. One is everybody thought he was going after China. Well, then we find out, well, no, it's really going to affect Canada. And then the president came out and said, well, what I'd really like to do ultimately is get a better deal with NAFTA. And so this is what the president has been trying to do all along. Now, we know that there are some folks that have not been real happy about this whole thing, including a number of people in his administration. Certainly the GOP, at least a lot of Republicans, including Paul Ryan, been very upset about this as well, because he does not agree with the president that this is going to help jobs and help the economy. He thinks, and Paul Ryan thinks, it's going to be completely the opposite. So it would seem to me now that perhaps maybe the GOP has gotten to President Trump, because the White House now saying that Mexico, Canada, and others may be exempted from the steel and aluminum tariffs under some national security carve-outs. Now, you'll remember that one of the things that I said, and this was earlier in the week, one of the things I said was that the president may need to figure out a way to adjust his thinking on this, because I was a little taken aback by the pushback from the GOP. And so somebody somewhere got a hold of the president and said, okay, we need to either spin out of this or try and make some sort of an adjustment. And so it would appear now that the president is trying to make those adjustments to make everybody happy. But isn't this kind of what we know that the president does all the time anyway? I mean, I tell you what, the president, not only does he play the media like a fiddle, but he also plays both parties like a fiddle as well. He said it's all like the art of the deal. He'll say one thing, he'll tweet another thing, and ultimately he gets a deal that is workable on all sides. Now, the Democrats going to hate anything the man does, but the Republicans not so much. And so if he decides to give some on his tariffs for everything from all the imports of steel and aluminum, he's going to make some adjustments on that. He's going to make some concessions on that, which is what the president does. Again, this is the guy who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. And that just came out just a few minutes ago. So we know that the markets have been taking a hit. We know that this has been a big conversation here in America the last several days. I did a couple of interviews on it as well. So it's been well discussed on this show. Here's another. It's almost like a follow-up to what I was speaking about earlier. This is from Rasmussen. Only 18% of voters think hashtag illegal immigrants have the same legal rights and protections than U.S. citizens have. 71% disagree. Now, this is so critically important. And the reason why this is so critically important is because of the fact that in America today, if you are a Democrat, you are almost forced in a way to concede that we don't have any real immigration laws in this country. Now, earlier today, Jeff Sessions himself, attorney general, was going after the state of California because of the three laws that they passed that really handcuffs ICE. And so ICE not being able to handcuff the amount of illegal immigrant criminals that they want to handcuff because the state of California has handcuffed them. Now, we all know about the mayor of Oakland. We all remember about how this woman alerted, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of illegal immigrants there in the area, the Bay Area, Oakland, to be specific. You know, because Oakland is a great bastion of a great place to live, right? They have so many problems there. And so the Democratic mayor, you know the story because I've been telling you about this story. She decided that it would be a good idea to tweet out a warning to all of the illegal immigrants there in Oakland that ICE was coming. And so now ICE really, really angry. The Department of Justice really angry. President Trump angry as well. And so now we have the Trump administration literally going after the state of California. Now, you got to realize, and again, 18% of voters think that legal immigrants, illegal immigrants, have the same legal rights and protections than U.S. citizens have. 71% disagree. Here's the problem. The problem is that the Democrats are constantly talking about President Trump and how he is a racist and all these other things. His jackbooted thugs are going to start deporting illegal immigrants. I mean, you know the story. For the love of God, it goes on and on and on. The Democrats are ultimately going to be stuck. Because when you look at that poll and when you see that the majority of Americans don't like the fact that these illegal immigrants effectively should have the same rights as legal Americans, well, they have to own the Democrats, their pro-illegal immigrant stance and their policy, because that is what it is. You got all these people on the left that are applauding this Oakland mayor, Libby Schaaf. She, of course, tweeted out this impending warning of the four-day raid last week, alerting targeted individuals to the immigrant arrests. And ICE has been saying we could have grabbed about 800 more of these illegal immigrants. And here's the problem. The problem is that those 800, let's talk about this earlier, those 800, these are folks with sex robbery convictions among those who evaded capture after the warning. So these are people that have done horrific things to people. And the tweet by the mayor of Oakland allowed them to escape. And so I'm trying to get over this thought, and I can't get over it because it is something that is absolutely spot on, which is, okay, so what about the Americans, the legal Americans who will either die or be the victims of crimes committed by these illegal immigrant criminals? And please realize, when I say illegal immigrant criminals, I mean they have broken laws more than just our immigration laws. For example, let's talk about this one guy, one Mexican citizen still on the run, thanks to the Bay Area mayor, the Oakland mayor, and her warning. One guy had convictions for unlawful sexual intercourse with a minor and a conviction for driving under the influence, a DUI. He had been deported back in 2003, but he's back in California. So is this guy going to be able to get back behind the wheel of a car? Perhaps. Because the Oakland mayor decided to warn everyone that it was happening, that the ICE raid was happening. Another who evaded capture had a conviction for sodomizing a drug victim back in 2012, as well as a DUI from this year. That Mexican citizen had also previously been deported in 2013. One more, an illegal immigrant from Mexico previously deported in 2014 for a conviction for armed robbery, also evaded capture. See, this is important. And the reason why this is so important is because we are a nation of laws. And we can debate our immigration laws all day long. But if these folks are here and if they are committing other crimes other than our immigration laws, then they have got to go. Now, as far as what to do with the Dreamers and the people that have been here for 20, 30 years, whatever it's been, and they've been here and they've kept their nose clean, that's a whole nother conversation. But as it relates to the current conversation about illegal immigration and the fact that there are hundreds that are still on the streets in San Francisco and Oakland because of this leftist mentality. Yeah, the Bay Area, where Kate Steinle was killed. You would think that the lunatic left would understand that the rights of American citizens should far outweigh the rights of these illegal immigrant criminals. Yet Nancy Pelosi said that the ICE raids were unjust and cruel over the mayor's tip-off to immigrants and all the outcry therein. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, of course, a Democrat, as we all know, slammed the unjust and cruel raids as the illegal immigrant community is up in arms. Now, as we know, it was partially thwarted by the mayor, and we've got all these folks that are on the run. Pelosi said in a statement Wednesday, yesterday, last night, taking the side of the Oakland mayor, accusing the White House of terrorizing innocent immigrant families. Here's what she said. Just last week, President Trump decided to terrorize innocent immigrant families in the Bay Area with his unjust and cruel raids. Her remarks came as Attorney General Jeff Sessions, a Justice Department, filed the lawsuit Tuesday night against California, arguing that three recently passed laws interfere with federal immigration policies. Now, when you think about the poll that I just shared with you about how the majority of Americans, essentially, they don't want legal Americans and illegal immigrants to have the same rights here in America, the same legal rights here in America. Well, then you have people like Nancy Pelosi and others who will do a couple of different things. One is they will most certainly do whatever they can to kiss the ASS of illegal immigrants. And it's all about votes, and you and I both know that. But the other thing that they're doing is they are trying to convince the rest of America that the president, with his jackbooted thugs, wants to deport every illegal immigrant here in America, which we all know is not true. Those of us who are educated know that the president actually has offered 1.8 million dreamers some sort of a pathway to citizenship or amnesty. Yet Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and all these folks, they are allowed to get away with this narrative thanks to their friends in the mainstream media. Now, what are those three laws that were just passed? Well, one of those laws offers additional worker protections. This is in California now, and this is why Jeff Sessions and the Trump administration, they are going after the state of California. One of those laws offers additional workers protections against federal immigration enforcement actions. Senior Justice Department officials have said that it's prevented companies from voluntarily cooperating with immigration and customs enforcement officials. So basically what they're doing is they're making it easier for these folks to get away with working in the country illegally. Another state law dubbed and known by critics as the Sanctuary State Bill protects immigrants without legal residency by limiting state and municipal cooperation with the feds, including what information can be shared about illegal immigrant inmates. And it goes on and on. So when you see these polls and then you compare that with what Nancy Pelosi and others have said about illegal immigration, one, they are trying to blend and really sort of make it seem like the Trump administration, as I said, wants to deport all of these illegal immigrants. And they're trying to make it seem like the Trump administration wants to deport everybody as opposed to just the criminals. That's what the Trump administration is trying to do. But the left and the mainstream media are trying to really cloud and confuse folks who, quite frankly, are not paying attention. And those are the people that we really need to reach as conservatives. And so that is a conversation that clearly we will continue to have in this country. Also, one of the other things that the president has been doing over the past couple of days, and I'll probably get to this tomorrow, is the president is now meeting with video games executives about school violence. And so we'll get to that story as well. Hopefully at some point today, if not certainly tomorrow. It is 12:19 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandy Show.
Pamela Fur, two city ethics investigations move forward, and Marines making history today with a group of 40 women. I'll explain coming up at 2:30 on WTN.
It is Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandy Show. I think, Pamela, there still might be some room left, you know, doing our big town hall broadcast tomorrow.
Yeah.
and how much I love these things. The round table.
So that's really a great way to get people to come.
Sorry, you know what? I do that. Why do I do that?
I don't know. We've got to teach you better.
I love these things. So it's going to be me. Stop it. Don't laugh. Don't openly
mock
me.
I can't help it.
It's going to be me. Now, here's the thing. Can I just be honest? So I really love meeting people. That's one of the favorite parts of my job. Mm-hmm. It's just that I'm downstairs in the showcase studio, and I'm out of my element. And so at times I just get a little, as we all know, I can get a little, you know, a little stressed out and agitated and these kind of things because oftentimes sometimes they don't always work well. And so there's usually one or two things that just don't work all that great. However, this time I'm sure it's going to be fine. And so our roundtable broadcast, I'm really not selling this at all.
You're not.
I apologize. If you'd like to come and meet Phil, myself, Michael DelGiorno, and Brian Wilson, we're all going to be downstairs. Lunch apparently is going to be served as well. It's going to be from noon to 1.
What kind of lunch? Do you know?
I don't know. I have no idea. That's not my job.
Bill and I.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the important point.
Yeah, you guys going to leave your post like it did yesterday?
I didn't leave my post.
I was told I could leave mine by the boss, so take it up with him.
All right, anyway, whatever. So all I'm saying is if you'd like to go, there is still room, I believe. Go to 997WTN.com, and you can come in. You can, again, meet myself and also Brian, Phil, and Michael. It is our roundtable broadcast. And in all seriousness, I'm really looking forward to it and hope to see you there. And again, I think there's just a few seats left, so would love to see you folks there. 615-737-9986. 615-737-WWTN. Now, coming up next, my conversation from earlier today, going to replay it, had a lot of folks ask if we could replay it. It is the interview that I did with Marcus Luttrell, of course, and David Rutherford, two American heroes, going to talk about what they're doing to help our veterans. It's an in-studio interview that we did earlier today. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed it. I think you will as well. So be sure and listen for that coming up here at about 2:34, 2:35 here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. It is Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Very humbled to be in the presence of a couple of real American heroes, Marcus Luttrell and David Rutherford, both Navy SEALs, both, again, American heroes. Guys, thank you very much, and welcome to Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, thank you for having us
on.
Yes,
sir. Thank you.
So let's talk about what brings you to Nashville. There's a few things, I'm sure, but mainly it's going to be the Volunteer Jam concert tonight. It's all about Charlie Daniels and all that he's done for our military, and it is, of course, connected to what I would say is an amazing organization, the Journey Home, which supports our veterans. So there's a lot of various things I want to talk about here in the next 30 minutes. But let's talk specifically about what's happening tonight at the Volunteer Jam concert at Bridgestone Arena.
Well, I tell you what, man, if you haven't heard of the Volunteer Jam, which has been going on literally since 1974, had a huge run, they stopped it, and then they brought it back 3 years ago. This is what music should be. Live music, bunch of great artists. I mean, you go down the list on here, Marcus, right? And I mean, these are the biggest people in the business coming together to jam together. That's just cool.
That's what we're saying. It takes somebody like Mr. Charlie to pull a lineup like this.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, let's go through some of these folks. Alison Krauss, Alabama, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. We got Chris Young. We've got Eddie Montgomery, of course, of Montgomery Gentry. Lee Bryce, Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, it goes on and on. Sarah Evans as well, the Oak Ridge Boys. I mean, it just goes on and on. So an amazing night tonight, and it's all to support Charlie Daniels, who is, of course, David Rutherford, as you've been saying, he has always been there for our veterans.
It's incredible. I mean, here's a guy, and he even talks about it in his new book that just recently came out, about how his influence from Pearl Harbor, right, from that day and how his whole life, but for 40 years he's been supporting veterans. I mean, he's got multiple deployments to Iraq, to Afghanistan playing with the guys. And so what we decided, he was one of our first big guests on the show. Remember when we had him on? We're like, I told Marcus, I was like, dude, we got Charlie Daniels coming on. And he was like, get out of here, right? And so in order to show our appreciation, we're going to give Charlie the first official Team Never Quit podcast Lifetime Achievement Award and appreciation for all he's done, not only in the music business, but specifically for veterans.
And he does do a lot for veterans. And so, Marcus, let me ask you, the TNQ podcast, it's Team Never Quit, the TNQ podcast. You guys have been doing this for a while, and you guys talk about some amazing issues. Talk a little bit about what the TNQ podcast is all about.
It's pretty fundamental in its design, really, and unique because our guest, the base that we bring on, is all across the board. I mean, from politicians to billionaires. It's just the one qualifying thing you got to have to come on the show is you've had to been in a bad spot. You've had to have a never quit moment. You've had to been down in the trenches
and pummeled,
right? and then clawed your way back out. And what we do is we bring the people on, and then we're kind of a conduit from them to our listeners, and just to here are those stories coming from the multitude of people that we bring on, and how it just resonates through our guests is unbelievable, because everybody's going to get in a tight spot, right? I mean, you don't have to sign up for the military to have a bad day or to get into a situation that you're not ready for. It's going to come at you no matter what. I mean, that's just the way life is. And the people that we bring on, man, they prove that, and they show that. And just because of our backgrounds and country boy and just city boy, it's just the way we kind of peel that banana and get in there, and the perspectives that we have are kind of unique to our own situations, but they're not unique to the overall outcome of getting through the bad times.
So it almost sounds like David, like it's something where if somebody listened to the podcast, it's inspirational in a way. And as Marcus said, you don't necessarily need to be somebody who is a veteran to get something from it.
And not even a little bit you need to be a veteran. Hell, we've had last year alone, Dan, we had eight emails come in that for people all walks of life saying they were contemplating suicide but heard our show and stopped. We actually had one guy that was in the process of committing suicide. Somehow it popped up on his phone. He heard our voices. He listened to it, and he stopped right there and changed.
Wow!
I mean, that's the whole point. We live in a society now where the negative insurgency is pounding on our door day in and day out. We talk about it all the time, man. Everything has this negative undertone to it. So what we decided, hey, we're going to bring our credibility, having been in hard situations, in particular, Mr. Never Quit himself right here,
sure,
right, the lone survivor
Marcus
himself,
Littrell.
And bring this positivity through pain, because we're all connected in our pain together. That's how what we really share. Yeah,
the way we get into it's different.
Totally. And so what we wanted to do is say, all right, let's bring some positivity to the airways and show people how to dig out of that hole. And that's what the whole thing is.
It's okay to be embarrassed. It's okay to fall down. I mean, I've done it in the open my entire life. Proud of it, right? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we all get into those situations that we're not ready for. That's where the fear comes in. And then basically it's a training platform to overcome fear. You learn how to harness it, right? Fear, you get trained in the situation, and then that fear kind of turns to anxiousness because you're ready to see what you can do. And it's just the different approaches and the different ways people have pulled themselves out of those holes is amazing.
It's incredible. I mean, we've had Laura Logan on. She was raped by 300 people in Tafar Square.
Oh, my Lord.
We've had Lance Armstrong on, right? Mm-hmm. And although people can't stand him, he's still in the greatest never quit moment of his life. I mean, he's lost everything, and how is he handling that? We've had Secretary Perry on. We've had Mark Wahlberg on. I mean,
Diana Nyad,
who swam from Cuba to Florida, took the woman 30 years to do it, and she never quit.
Yeah.
So being able to expose these stories in a meaningful, positive way to the world and to America and man, that's like the greatest. We pinch ourselves every day that this is what we do.
When you speak to all these folks, and you've been doing this for a while, you speak to all these folks, and they are amazing stories. Is there one thing that all these people have in common that other people can think about, and maybe they can try and harness that same unique characteristic?
Dan, that's probably the greatest question that we can ask, right? We talk about it all the time, and what it is we think right now we're closing in on 100 shows, so we have got a great like academic database to address and look at. And what we've noticed is, you know, there's a component of faith in God that drives certain people. Remember Charlie in Vietnam?
Family.
Right? There's a competitive spirit, Dustin Pedroia, I mean, they told him he would never make it his entire career. There's a component of being beaten down from early on and never wanting that to define him. David Goggins, which was our biggest show ever, Navy SEAL.
Who's the overwhelming component of it is the human aspect.
Yeah.
It's like we all get into these ideas of our career paths or our life choices of what we want to do, and it somehow that facilitates some kind of armor that doesn't allow bad things to come in, but that's just not the case, man. Ultimately, we're human, and the harder you try, the more mistakes you're going to make, and the more you should learn from it.
Well, it almost sounds like grit is something that people need to almost embrace because you learn from it, right?
Every day. Every day. If you don't take the pain, the positive application of pain in your life, and utilize it as a training or teaching tool in some capacity, that pain gets the better of you psychologically. It becomes the dominant factor that ignites fear, that inhibits you from running back into gunfire, so to speak. We like to use a lot of euphemisms from our past. So
understandable.
Yeah, right?
And you somehow hold on to that after the pain is gone. Right, it somehow immobilizes you in your mental capacity. But ultimately, when you get into those situations, know that you're in it. Just like everybody else is going to have to get in it. You don't have to sign up for the military to get into a gunfight. You can get cancer and be in a battle. And when you start going through the chemo, people, it sucks. It's it. But that's your teammate now. The component. And when you are getting beat down and feeling tired, man, that's that you're making progress in the battle. You're doing something.
Awesome.
And then you collectively pull that inside of you, so when you get done with it, man, it's not something that I have to take every single day. It's something I can take. I had to take it, and I'm over it now. But if I have to go back down there, I'm ready because I've been there.
And that might be something that with the Journey Home, this amazing foundation that you are involved in, is that one of the things that you try and teach the veterans when they're coming home and perhaps they're having a hard time adjusting from life on the battlefield to life back here at home. Is that one of the things that you try and teach these folks?
Absolutely. The more days that they're out, the more days that we're out, the more they learn, the more we learn. And I mean, if we're ahead of them in some kind of capacity of the time they've gotten out, then and it's incumbent upon us to pass
it's
that.
Our mission.
Yeah,
it's our new
mission,
right?
We're still
right?
teammates. I mean, we're still family. We wear that forever uniform.
Yeah.
Right? It's always alive. It's just a different body occupies it. So it's one of them deals where they separate us and getting out. We were talking about this earlier. The military and the government puts everything into getting us in and getting us streamlined and what we're supposed to do by design. And you really don't want to waste time on the people getting out because that takes away from the people coming in. Understandable. But what we've learned is that the more we can communicate, thank God for social media and platforms like this for bringing us on here, man, because you give us the opportunity to reach out and talk to them guys who go home to in the middle of nowhere when you're by yourself and there's no cell phone.
They're either on 22 different medications for traumatic brain injury, PTSD, all this stuff, and they got no hope.
Well, yeah. I've had.
We just had another Navy SEAL commit suicide this morning. This is second in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That can't happen anymore. So the Journey Home Project and Charlie and his, he's taking his presence as a country music icon and he's funneling, money towards this program. And then he's saying, here, Marcus, I'm going to give you $10,000 for the Lone Survivor Foundation, which is a retreat program for vets and their families. Here, I'm going to give one of my closest friends, one of my dearest friends had bad TBI. He sent him through hyperbarics for $8,000. That's what they do. It's to put the money in the right place to help the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've got to ask, and David Rutherford joins us, Marcus Luttrell as well, two former Navy SEALs. So did you, David, I'll ask you first, what was your experience when you came back, when you came back home? Did you suffer from TBI, PTSD? Did you suffer from a lot of this? And that's why now this is your life's journey, your life's work now, your mission?
100% I did. I did a combat deployment with SEAL Team 1 in 2002 in Afghanistan. Came back, was kind of disenfranchised. It was battling some of that, psychosis that can doesn't feel suited to want to continue my career. And so I punched out after that, where I should have stayed in and readjusted and reacclimated and gotten back in, but I didn't. So now all of a sudden I'm a 31-year-old Navy SEAL, out of combat at home in Boca Raton, Florida, selling real estate. You should have seen how many people I wanted to strangle on a day in and day out basis, right? I'll never forget. I was working with my mom. We had an open house, and somebody calls her on a Sunday, starts screaming at her on the phone. I grab the phone at her and start yelling at the guy in the face. I'm like, "How dare you yell at my mom?" And it's like, and I struggle because there weren't any programs. And there aren't any places. And so, yeah, for me, it was a training. And it ultimately drove me into contracting with Blackwater. And then after that, I started my business. And then the crash. And then I went to work for the CIA for 4 years. So I kept going back and back and back because I didn't fit in. Because there weren't any programs.
And Marcus, I've also been told by veterans that one of the things that veterans really miss when they come back home is that camaraderie.
Oh, yeah. That's the hardest thing. I think the idea of the job itself, sure, it lingers in there, but ultimately is the hole that gets punched in you when they separate you from your boys. Because, we walk through hell together. It's kind of hard to
– literally.
Anybody who's seen the movie knows or read the book knows exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Let's be clear. I'm different, and I don't really ever talk about this, but the way that I was handled and taken care of from the time I got up to this very point now is I've been covered down on high ground by our community and by the American people. I mean, I had a lot of physical injuries. I didn't have PTSD, but I struggled just like everybody else because of the separation anxiety and then the pain, the physical stuff like that, and the surgeries. But once you get back up online, my situation is unique because I'm covered down on have been from the very moment I stepped into the public eye. I mean, yeah. if you think the baby boomers didn't do a good job with their veterans, you have no idea what ours do for me. I mean, it's kind of funny because I spent my entire life to be a weapon, tough and this, that, and the other. But I'm treated like a wounded puppy, which I'm not complaining about that. I appreciate everything, but it's just they're the overwhelming gift of goodness I get from everybody is beyond reproach. I can't even really put it into. I don't have the vocabulary to tell you guys how thankful I am for the life that you've blessed me with. Because it was an honor just to be a Navy SEAL. It was an honor to be in battle. It's an honor to walk among you guys now and facilitate my healing and all of that. It's a true testament to the fact that if you surround yourself with all of our people, man, you get over anything.
Yeah.
Is one of the problems that there is a lack of support groups for veterans? That seems – I've heard that, but I've heard differing stories. Some folks, such as yourself, will say, well, there's all kinds of support groups. You even have a podcast about it. But then other veterans will say they feel so incredibly alone. There are people – and every time I talk about the VA and I talk about this stuff a lot – I always get those emails and Facebook messages from veterans talking about how they feel so alone. So I'll ask you two right now. I guarantee you there's somebody listening to this radio show right now who's a veteran who is alone, maybe hasn't gone outside in quite some time, and is contemplating suicide. David, I'll start with you and then you, Marcus. What's your message to them?
That you are not alone. You're never going to be alone. And there are guys like Marcus and I right now available at Access. You just have to – troop, soldier, sailor, whatever you are, Marine, pick your head up, just get online and find somebody. I mean, there's programs in every city around the country. There's great there's 46,000 veterans charities. There are about 20% of those are really quality and good ones. I mean, I've worked with 6 or 7 over the last 6 years, all doing wonderful things for veterans. The key is, though, to just tap into another veteran that you know, and to create those links, to recreate. Because when you're in the service, man, every day I'd get up, I'd drive into work, I'm surrounded by 15 people that would die for me any day of the week and twice on Tuesdays, right? Yeah. Yeah. So all of a sudden, now I'm back home, and I'm surrounded by civilians. And to no wrong on civilians, but they just don't get – they don't process it like we do. Until you've been in a war, you just can't fathom it. And so to have that connectability where I can come and look at Marcus and man, I go through withdrawals when I don't get to go out to the ranch and record. But when I get there, boom, I settle in. I feel that peace, and it's amazing.
Is one of the problems, Marcus, when you're somebody who is in the field of battle, you have this mission, but then you come home and all of a sudden that mission isn't there anymore, and all of a sudden you may feel crap, what do I do now? Is there part of that too?
Oh, sure, the pace. I mean,
there's nothing
you can find that's going to equal the pace that we run at from the time you – I mean, because it's – you got to understand, when you join the military, it's a career path. It's a life path. I mean, everything's kind of laid out. You can actually do anything you want and become anything you want from the military, and that's an absolute fact. And it's also a human experience too, because even in combat, and we have the computers and stuff like that, but we're not texting each other. You actually have to be, and you're going through these situations, these bad situations with somebody. So, I mean, you're looking in the emotion. You can feel the tension or the pain or the happiness or whatever it is. And then once you get pulled away, you get – I mean, it is an isolation. I mean, kind of deal. If you live out in the middle of nowhere and they separate us back to our towns and you go back to integrate, the best thing you can do – and I think this is why I – turned out the way I did is because I never had a chance to slow down. I never stopped. I mean, from the time I got out, just the problem is with military people is we don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have anything to do, you get bored, right? And after you get bored, you just sit in front of the TV, but then that gets boring. And if I take a little extra one of these Vicodin, man, it'll make everything, you know, it won't make it boring or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you get in that trap and they say, well, there's social groups and you can log in. I'm like, yeah, but that's not a human experience, right?
Yeah.
And what I did, even when I'm outside my gates on the road, even when I get back, my new commanding officer is my wife. So I wake up, man, and I tell her, "You give me, just hand me the list.
Yeah,
put me to work, man. Yep. I'll work till my hands bleed, and I don't have time to think about anything else."
Yeah.
And then when my friends come out to hang out with me, I mean, I have the same crew I've had since I was a boy. If they come to hang out, whatever I'm doing, we're doing it.
Yeah.
If it's shoveling, you know, horse manure, whatever it is. It's just so we can hang out together. Yeah. And, you know, if you're around all your boys and everything's okay, then you're okay.
Right? How can folks find out more information about the Journey Home? Is there – I'm assuming it's thejourneyhome.org, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep, journeyhomeproject.org.
And where can folks find your podcast?
At tnqpodcast.com or go to your iTunes podcasting app. Just type in Team Never Quit. You type in Team and it pops
video.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You type in Team, it'll pop up. Subscribe. And we've got just a catalog of shows that'll blow you away.
All right. And it's all about the Volunteer Jam concert tonight at Bridgestone Arena. I believe tickets may still be available.
They are, absolutely.
They are. Okay.
Yep.
And Marcus, one last question for you. I've seen Lone Survivor. I can't tell you how many times.
And can I jump in here real quick?
Yes, Bell. Producer Bell.
He doesn't look a thing like Mark Wahlberg.
No, you don't. You're much better looking than Mark Wahlberg. I just say that.
He's great.
He's been practicing that line for 2 days,
awesome,
just to
dude,
let you know.
That's awesome, man.
Producer Bell chiming in. Are you able to watch that movie?
No, I don't watch it.
I was just curious. I was just curious.
You know, I know all the deleted scenes and the director's cut. I got that logged up in here pretty good. So we were out there, like I said, covered on high ground by the military from the very beginning. That included the movie. So and another wonderful thing about my life is they pulled me off the line with my brothers, but then the American people became my new SEAL platoon, if you will. I mean, I worked with them. So from the writing part of it, they stuck me in the writer's world. I lived with a writer. Hollywood, I lived with Pete, with the director, and just watched, learned, and you know, kind of listened. And man, it just made everything amazing to be a part of that. It was a blessing to be out there to experience all of those people there are absolutely wonderful, man. And to just to be a part of that was a humbling experience. And we designed the movie just to make sure that the families were and the guys were honored and the families signed off on it. And that our brothers did. I mean, even when we showed it to all our frogmen, they were like, "Yeah, we'll let you have a pass." You know, it wasn't great.
Peter, he had a private screening, or Marcus did, in Houston, and all the team guys in one theater. And afterwards, Peter Berg, who's he's got a lot of bravado to him. He's a boxer. All this comes in, walks in, his pockets are in his hand. He kind of looks up and goes, "So am I going to get my butt kicked right now?" And one of Marcus's friends goes up, puts his arms around him, and goes, "No, you're going to get a pass on this one."
Well, I got to tell you, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for what you continue to do for the veterans. Good luck tonight, Marcus Luttrell and David Rutherford, two American heroes. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Dan Mandis Show. 615-737-WWTN.